I want to share with you just a little bit here tonight from the scriptures as we understand that Christmas truly is a Christian celebration. At its core, you wouldn't really have a Christmas if you didn't have Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is central to Christianity and to that which we believe. I'd like to challenge our thinking a bit tonight as we think about how in the Bible, there's a first and there's a second. There is a first coming of Jesus, and there's a second coming of Jesus. Some of you have known that. Maybe for some of you tonight, that's a new kind of thing, new thought. First coming, second coming of Jesus, what's that all about? Well, at Christmas, what we are celebrating is we are celebrating the first coming of Jesus. Now, to describe that for us, Paul puts it into words. If you have a Bible, go to Philippians chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, you can look there in Philippians chapter 2 to get a bit of a description of what is happening in this first coming of Jesus. And now, why is this so important? Well, this is so important because the first coming had to happen in order for the second coming. And it was the second coming that so many people looked forward to, but yet they didn't realize the significance of his first. And maybe you're here tonight, and you've never realized the significance of Christ's first coming. I'll tell you, his second coming is going to be glorious. He's going to be a conquering king and a perfect governor over all the earth. The entire earth will be filled with peace and righteousness. How's that sound? That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But you know what? In order for us to enjoy such things, Christ had to come the first time. And it was in the first coming that he made it possible for people like you and me to enjoy the glories of eternal life and peace forever with him. So it's important to understand the two comings of Jesus Christ. So in Philippians chapter 2, I didn't even get there yet, I'm talking. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, listen to verse 5. He's talking to us and to the people that he's writing to, a church, and he's trying to help them know how to think. And to illustrate how they ought to be and how they ought to be thinking, he illustrates it by the way Jesus came. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now I want to pause there, and I want you to understand something here. Jesus Christ never had a beginning. He is God. No beginning and no end. And he always existed in the glories of heaven. And so, it wasn't a big deal for him to be called God because he was God. He is God. Now look at what else Paul says, though, in verse 7. He says, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a, what? Of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. I don't think we have to argue too much the fact that we are not God. That mankind is, we don't enjoy the glories of God, and we don't enjoy the power, the strength, the perfection. We live in a sin-cursed world. Do we agree with that? Can we see that? We realize that we live in a sin-cursed world. Yes, it's a world that was created perfectly by God, but mankind chose to sin, and as a result of that, according to the decree of God, if you choose to sin, you will die. And so this world is cursed with sin and death. Yet, because of Christ's love, we're told, he humbled himself. We talked about humility tonight already. He humbled himself, and he is made in the likeness of men, our likeness. The very God of heaven came down, was conceived in Mary by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and she gave birth to a baby boy and laid him in a manger. The very God of heaven, veiled in a human body, came as a baby. That's not what you would expect, is it? Now, of course, the prophets have told this, and if you read the prophet Isaiah, he said this was going to happen, but few people really understood it or believed that that's really the way God would send his deliverer. Of course, people weren't thinking about deliverance from their sin necessarily. They were thinking more deliverance from Rome and from the powers that be that control their life. Deliver us so that we can live freely. But yet, God in his infinite wisdom knew that eternal life would not be all that great if sin was a part of it. And knowing and realizing and understanding that because mankind sinned, the earth and man were cursed and destined to death, eternal separation from God. And so God in his infinite wisdom understood two comings. He planned two comings. The first coming, Jesus Christ came as a baby, humble, took upon himself the form of a servant, and he came as a savior of our sin. Not a savior from political powers, but a savior from our sin. You know, as we talk about Christmas, it's such a joyous time, and people seem to be extra happy. Okay. We probably all run into a few grumpy people too at the stores, huh? But you know, people try to put their best foot forward this time of year, and they try to be joyous and happy, and you know what? It only lasts for just a few short days. But you know what's so exciting about Christianity, about being a follower of Jesus Christ, is that there is a true joy that can last all year long. Why? Because we understand the significance of his first coming, that he came to save us from our sin. And there is no way else you will find no other deliverer, no other way to pay for your sin. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. God said this. He said, in his word, he said, the wages of our sin is death. So in other words, what we deserve because of our sin is death. So it's either you die in your sin and spend eternity away from God, condemned, or somebody else dies in your place. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to be the Savior of the world. You know, we think about Savior. It's a deliverer. It's the imagery that we all appreciate. And even our news media will put out stories every now and then of heroes, of people that place themselves in harm's way to rescue people from danger. And we like that. It's exciting. And it helps us, it makes us feel good. If it's us, we feel good about that. Or if it's somebody else, we feel proud of them. And We want to be associated with them. We like this. But so many in our world are living in the depths of sin. And they don't understand and realize that they're headed to a Christless eternity. So as we think about Christmas, and we're here Christmas Eve, you know, what a powerful thought to think, here we are, we're celebrating this first coming, and the significance of this is to make it possible for people cursed with sin to enjoy eternal life with God forever. But Christ had to come that first time, and he came as a humble servant, taking upon himself the form of a man. And in verse 8 it says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And you might say, hey, we're not celebrating Easter right now. This is Christmas time. You know, this one thing I wanted to address. I want us to realize something as Christians tonight. That yes, Christmas is set aside to celebrate Christ's birth, but we celebrate it all year long as we enjoy the freedom he gives us through what he did on the cross. And the cross wouldn't have happened if he hadn't come. And that's what we're celebrating this season. The cross. In verse 9 it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. And you might say here tonight, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. He just died on the cross, and then it says God hath highly exalted him. Understand that Christ rose again from the dead, showing victory over sin and over death. And God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But you say, Pastor, you talked about two comings. Yeah, I did. I'm emphasizing the first coming here because you know what? Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is when you have to decide what you believe about Jesus. It said, oh, come, all ye faithful. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ tonight? You know, the Christmas celebration, it's going to lack its fullness and joy if you don't know the Christ of Christmas. And I take seriously this opportunity right now that I have to minister to you tonight. And I want you to know and understand the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He has come to save you from your sin, that you might have everlasting life. In the book of 2 Peter, I'm going several places tonight, and if you can't follow along in your Bible, that's okay. Just listen closely. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, the writer is Peter, one of the apostles, disciples of Jesus, and he is writing to people who have believed on Christ, and he is writing to them because they are living in a world full of scoffers. Notice in verse 3 of 2 Peter 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Listen, people, this is our world. And there are people scoffing at Christianity, scoffing at Christ. It has become shameful in our nation to be a Christian and to stand up for Christ. They scoff at Christ. Oh, the Word of God already said this. The Word of God told us this. What are the scoffers saying? Well, Peter says it like this, verse 4. They say, where's the promise of his coming? What coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Peter writes, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was overflowed with water, perished. That's that great flood of Noah. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Listen, you need to know about his first coming because that's how you are saved. You need to know about his second coming because that is what all people will face. They will face Jesus Christ, and he will come as king and as judge. Are you ready to face him today? You see, this world will face a day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Peter writes in verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. I mean, does this sound good? Does this sound exciting? Yes, but this is in the context of, listen, Christ is coming and judgment with him. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is in control of the timing of all of these events, and he knows the perfect time to send his Son again, the second time, back to this earth. He knows. He knows when that last person is going to believe in him, and he's going to say, now is the time. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, he writes. Why that? Because there are going to be some who don't believe. And when they see him coming, it's too late. Because when they see him coming, it's like a thief that enters into your house and you're like, I wasn't expecting you. I'm not ready for you. He's coming. He's coming a second time. This time it's not in a humble state. It's as a king and as a judge. As a conquering king. In fact, in Revelation, it describes him as riding on a white horse, descending from heaven, and the saints following in white robes, an incredible procession. And on him bears this name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can't get anybody higher than that. Peter continues to write, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, the works that are therein shall be burned up. Does that sound like a time you want to be a part of? Well, listen, you need to understand his first coming. Because you understand his first coming and you embrace him as Savior, his second coming is glorious and something you can't wait for. Something that you look at as a deliverance. Something that you wait for with anticipation. He continues to write, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, seeing, looking for, verse 12, and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, listen to this, verse 13, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now that's deep in the core of all of us is what we long for. A new heaven and a new earth where we don't have all of these troubles, where we can enjoy peace. You know what? That's righteousness. Now, people don't understand that because they don't know God. But what they long for is a world that God has in store, but they will never see it if they don't understand His first coming, that He came as Savior to save them from their sin. You see, God cannot have sin in His presence, and so Jesus Christ bore the penalty of our sin so that we may be justified. Big word to say that Jesus Christ took upon Himself our sin. He bore that penalty at the cross so that when God looks at us, He looks at us through Christ's blood, and we're forgiven of our sin. Where's forgiveness? Where is it? It's at the cross of Jesus. Where's the power? It's in His resurrection. He's coming again. He is coming again. I want to close with these thoughts from the book of Hebrews chapter 9. My wife and I read this passage just this morning, and it caught my attention very much that I just want to share it with you tonight. I think it's a very fitting and poignant reminder for all of us, those of us that know Christ and those that may be here tonight who do not, those who understand the significance of His first coming and are excited about His second, and those who have truly not understood the depths of their sin and Jesus Christ as Savior. And so therefore they're not ready, you're not ready for His second coming. In Hebrews chapter 9, I want us to just look at picking up at verse 26. We read these words, "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. Jesus appeared to put away, appeared meaning He came to this earth to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as, verse 27, "as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them," now listen to this, "unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." His first coming and His second coming. You see, His second coming, He's not coming to deal with sin. That was done at the first. His second, He's coming to complete that salvation and to bring about the judgment upon the earth that it rightly deserves, and all those who do not believe will face God's wrath for their unbelief. Are you looking for Him and His soon return? Is that something you are excited about with anticipation? Or would you be ashamed when he came? If He were to come right now, would you look at Him like, "I didn't expect you. How dare you enter into my world when I'm not ready?" And so I tell you tonight, may you look deeply at His first coming, understanding its significance as it prepares you and me for His second. The first, He came humbly as a baby, and He laid in a manger. His second coming, He comes riding on a white horse, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, bearing power and judgment upon the earth and those that do not believe, and completing the salvation that is resurrecting and bringing all to Him that have believed, and thus eternal life for them with Him forever and ever. You know, we don't know when the day is coming when He's returning. We don't know when He will catch us up to be with Him. It could be tonight. It could be tonight. And God has each of us here tonight to hear this message. Ask yourself why. Perhaps it's just to enjoy the reality that someday you get to enjoy this kingdom, this place of righteousness. But maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, man, I'm not ready. Well, I trust tonight, you, as you go home and celebrate Christmas tonight, tomorrow, you remember the significance of this, of these comings, his first and his second. I'd like to close by singing this popular carol, Joy to the World. It's hymn number 270. And this carol speaks of the joy that there is in our world with Jesus Christ and his coming. But I believe it's significant in that it's also reminds us of his second coming as well. 270, let's sing this together, contemplating what we have learned tonight. 270. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Let's stand together as I close in prayer tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this time together. I thank you for these families that have come tonight. And I pray great blessing upon their homes as they celebrate you. I pray that you would help them. I pray that you would help the fathers in these families that to lead their children and their wives in the truth. Lord, I pray that each home that's represented here tonight would know the blessing and encouragement of your peace, of your truth, and of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas to you.